Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow baptized children of God, a young child asks his parents, "Mom, Dad, why does this happen?" And the parents say to their young child, "Well, because of this." The child says, "Okay, but why?" And the parents say, "Well, because of this." And the child responds, "Okay, but why?" And if you've ever been in that situation, very likely you have, you eventually just have to tell the child, "Well, because I say so. That's just how it is." To which the child will say, "Okay." Now apply that same type of thinking to us as believers. We are children of God, children of salvation. And when it comes to the plan of salvation that God has revealed to us, it's very simple to understand. Even a young little child can know that they are saved because of Jesus Christ. And yet, when you really try to understand salvation completely, you will begin to understand that it completely goes against our logic. And so we, not in the sense of doubting God, but we simply ask Him, "God, how can this be? How can it be that I am saved? Why would I be saved?" And God simply gives us the answer. We are saved because God saved us. I mean, that's what is mentioned here in Paul's letter to Titus. But before we look at these verses, I want us to look at the verse that comes right before this. It says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." At one time, you and I were completely like this, and to a certain extent, we still are like this. We are still like this because of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature that is an enemy of God and completely opposed to Him. And therefore, we too can still be spiritually foolish and disobedient as we disobey our God. We too can be enslaved by our passions and our pleasures, blinding us to what is pleasing in God's sight. We too can express ourselves with malice and envy because we are not content with what we have. And since we don't have it, we will commit acts of hatred to get what we want. And because of that, we can be hated by others while at the same time we are hating other people. That's what we were like. And this is how we can still act because of our sinful nature. And so now imagine if you were God. It was never your intent to have mankind live in this way. You created mankind perfect in your image. And yet, because of the alluring temptation from Satan, mankind threw away perfection to foolishly follow their own desire to be more like God. And because of that, you have seen your perfect creation completely ruined. As true God, you can probe the hearts of mankind And there you will see that the heart of mankind is only inclined to evil all the time. As God, you know all things. And therefore, you know the thoughts of sinful mankind. You see that lust, that hatred, and that covetousness. As true God, you are present everywhere. And you see the sins that are committed in secret while no one is looking. You look out upon the world and you see atrocities and the wickedness of mankind increasing more and more. If you were God, what would you do? If we were God, I think we would all punish mankind for their wickedness and condemn all of mankind to eternal death because of their sins. But notice what it says here. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. While we were still enemies of God, while we were still foolishly following our own desires and passions, while we were still committing acts of hatred and envy, God saved us. And God did not save us because of the righteous things that we had done. For if God were to save us because of the righteous things we had done, then you and I would still be waiting for our salvation. Because there is nothing righteous about us by nature. We bring nothing to the table. We don't do anything that would turn God to us that he should care and love us. And even the righteous things that we do, Scripture says, they are still like filthy rags because they are contaminated with sin. And so it makes us wonder, well, why, God? Why would you save me? God saved us purely because of his mercy. God's grace, his undeserved love, relented from punishing us with condemnation for our sin. Therefore, the kindness and love of our God appeared to us. The kindness and love of our God appeared in Jesus Christ, manifested in the flesh, who became one with us. And he did not come to condemn the world, but to show kindness to the world. He did not come to express wrath to us, but he came to express his love for mankind. He did not come to punish us because of our sins, but he came to be punished for our sins as he died on the cross to forgive us. We are saved purely because of Jesus Christ, and purely because of his mercy, his love, and his kindness to us all. But if you're anything like me, there are those times that you need that extra certainty, that extra comfort, that extra assurance that something is true. And that can apply to salvation as well. And this is why God has given us that certainty and comfort and assurance. For God has given us a means, an instrument, a tool to save us. And that means, that instrument, that tool that saves us is baptism. Listen to what baptism does for us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. By nature, we are physically alive, but spiritually, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. There is no spiritual life in us. And since there is no spiritual life in us, there can be no hope of eternal spiritual life for us. Also, since there is no spiritual life in us, then there is nothing that you and I can do that would please God. Because Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But baptism saves us, because through baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us rebirth and renewal. Jesus once said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And the Holy Spirit, through baptism, has made us born again. He has created new life in us that we had lost when we fell into sin. And also, he has renewed us. He has created the new man in us that only desires to obey God. And even when we will still sin because of our sinful nature, the new man drives us back to the waters of our baptism in confession. As Martin Luther once said while explaining baptism, baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So as we approach God through the waters of baptism as we confess to him, God, through the waters of baptism, assures and comforts us that we are saved and forgiven. But this is where Satan drives doubt into our minds, because he can make us all wonder, am I really saved, even though I have been baptized? Has the Holy Spirit truly given me rebirth and renewal when all I see and look at are my sins? Has God poured out the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ upon me to justify me by his grace? Those are the doubts that we all can have. But don't listen to those doubts. Listen to what God tells you. We all have had the Holy Spirit generously poured out upon us through baptism. We all have received the same blessings that baptism gives. For when we were baptized, the Holy Spirit clothed us with Christ's perfect righteousness. When we were baptized, even with a small amount of water, the Holy Spirit immersed us in the eternal waters of God's grace. When we were baptized, all of our sins, the sins that we know of and the sins we don't know we have committed, the sins of our past, the sins of our present, and the sins of our future have all been washed away. But it makes us wonder, how can this be? How can baptism do all of these wonderful things? Scripture gives the answer. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism has saved us because baptism connects us to Jesus Christ and what he has done. When Jesus Christ was baptized, he wasn't baptized to have his sins forgiven, for he was perfect. But at his baptism, he received the Holy Spirit and power to complete what he came here to do. His baptism was the official start of his public ministry of our salvation. And the ministry of our salvation was completed when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but more importantly, was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, what baptism does for us is that it connects us to Jesus, that when Jesus died on the cross, our sins died with him, so that in return, since Jesus has been raised from the dead, we too are raised to eternal life. This is why these verses call us heirs of salvation. And think of baptism in this way. Before we were baptized, we belonged to Satan. We were his children. We were heirs of condemnation and eternal death. But when we were baptized, essentially God said to Satan, "This person no longer belongs to you. This person belongs to me. This person is no longer your child, Satan. This person is my child. I have adopted this person into my family, and I have placed my name on them. This person is no longer an heir of salvation, an heir of condemnation and eternal death, but they are now heirs of salvation and eternal life. And Satan, there is nothing that you can do that will take them from me." But Satan tries. He brings up countless accusations against you in order to condemn you. But none of those accusations work with God. They can't work with God, because baptism has connected us with Christ our Savior. When Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," it was a done deal. Our sins were paid for in full. Our sins had been removed from us forever. Our sins are no longer remembered by our God. It is baptism that has saved us. And what God has done for us and what he has revealed to us, there is no doubt. There is only certainty, comfort, and assurance. Therefore, dear baptized children of God, rejoice that we are saved, because God saved us. God saved us not because of the righteous things that we had done, but he saved us purely because of his mercy. The kindness and love of our God appeared to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And God has also saved us through the waters of our baptism. For in baptism, the Holy Spirit has given us rebirth and renewal. In baptism, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us generously so that we can be justified by God's grace. In baptism, God has made us his children and heirs of salvation and eternal life. Praise be to our God that he has saved us, and therefore we have all comfort, certainty, and assurance of our salvation. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the word of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.